Warning! This podcast exceeds the Surgeon General's recommended limit of awesome! This is Nutty Bites.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Joss, and I've got an episode for you, a very special, awesome episode. This is the panel podcasting for the listener that was recorded at Balticon this year. Why isn't this Nutty Bites live? Well, there were recording issues going on there. Mainly, I plugged into a mixer trying to get superior sound, and unfortunately only got three mics, but only two people were on those mics, and the third mic was picking up the other people from a very far distance. So I'm actually going to be using some Patreon money to spend a little bit more money to get some more Auphonic time this month, and I'm going to release that, but that is not going to be the episode that patrons are donating towards, because that audio has a lot of issues. So instead, I am giving you another awesome panel. This is a panel that I had suggested to the Balticon committee, and they approved, and it went through. And this is podcasting for the listener. So please have a listen and enjoy. And I don't remember if everybody gave their credentials, but if not, please check the show notes. I will link to everybody that was involved in this, and you can find all of their stuff elsewhere from those show notes. Thank you to my patrons. I really do appreciate all of the support. You are helping make this podcast what it is and helping me continue after dealing with dreadful audio. It really does help. And everyone should have received their artwork by now, except for two. Those are going in the mail tomorrow. They were supposed to go in the mail like a month ago, but it didn't happen. Sorry about that. But that will be on its way to you shortly. So please, thank you to Shane, Aaron, David, Patrick, Jen, Harold, Ian, Aurora Lee, Beth, Kinsey, Susanna, Melissa, Lynette, Susan, and Frank. Thank you all so much. You are making this continue to happen. And it basically, this is a month where having patrons really, really matters. If I didn't have patrons, I might skip this month. But you guys are keeping me going, and I appreciate it. So thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Heather Welliver, and it's freaking hot in here, so excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm your moderator for today. Okay, so we have Nutty Nuchas, who is a podcaster and artist. Nutty's been listening to podcasts since 2004 or 5 and contributing to podcasts since 2006. In 2011, she graduated to running her own podcast, Nutty Bites, and co-hosting on specficmedia.com's Beyond the Wall. Woo! She's been bringing podcasting to public schools through project-based learning programs and mentoring emerging podcasters. She's a podcast pusher.
I am. Your first one's free.
Next one's going to cost you. We have, at the end of the table here, Mark, the encaffeinated one.
That's the appropriate low five.
He's been listening to podcasts since they were called radio shows. He began his award-winning podcast, The Weird Show, in 2006, and has participated in dozens of podcasts since. He's currently the program director of CHSR-FM, a campus-based community radio station, and encourages many of their hosts to podcast their radio shows. On the listening side, Mark has listened to thousands of hours of podcasts over the last decade, regularly listening to a dozen or two shows every week. Wow, that's a lot. And Hugh, I didn't get a write-up on you, so would you like to speak a little for yourself?
Okay. I am Hugh J. O'Donnell. I am the host and editor of the Way of the Buffalo podcast, and also a contributor to the Chrononaut Cinema Reviews podcast.
Woo! I think there's a co-host in here.
Indeed. In my day job, I listen to probably about 6 or 7 hours of podcasts a day.
You get paid for that?
I don't get paid to listen to podcasts, but they let me listen to whatever I want as long as it is on CD.
Oh.
So I burn a lot of podcasts to CD, which is the most arcane and unintended method of listening podcast possible. So I've been podcasting since 2011 and listening since 2008.
So podcast pioneers, everyone. I guess I should say who I am. I'm Heather Welliver. I'm a voice actress and narrator. And I am currently working on narrating Starla Hutchison's Evolution Angel. Very excited about that. And soon we'll be participating as a voice actress in the Ed Greenwood project, the Under Librem, I believe is what it is. So enough about me. Let's get started. Let's see. So let's start off with maybe some current podcasts that everybody could recommend that are out and running now.
Okay, so there's a lot of great podcasts, and for me, what I tend to tell people is when you're looking for a podcast to listen to, just type whatever it is you're interested in and then put podcast after it, and you will likely find something. But there's a lot of different like types of podcasts going on. There's a lot of fan casts. There's a big trend going around now called the Introcast, which is shows that we love and adore and introducing people to them, so you're getting brand new reactions. It all started with a potential cast, which is a Buffy intro cast, where one veteran took three newbies and they would watch each episode of Buffy and you'd get these fresh reactions, and it was kind of like getting the excitement of watching it all over again. There's a lot of podcast fiction out there that you can delve into, like lots of it. You'll hear her voice on a bunch of it. And there's, if you're interested in writing, there's writing podcasts. If you're interested in art, there's art podcasts. There's activist podcasts. There's everything you can think of. And I could tell you a whole list, but, you know, I like to individualize it. But,
yeah. And podcasting is also catching on in the arts and entertainment industry, so we have a lot of actors and writers and musicians doing their own podcasts as a way to connect to fans. So there are a lot of podcasts like Maximum Fun Network, the Earwolf Network, a lot of LA-based sort of podcast networks where there are a lot of comedians and actors who do their own podcasts, and they are, a lot of them are very great. So if you have like a favorite minor actor, they probably have their own podcast these days.
Oh, I'm going to cheat and just look at my phone, because I have all my podcasts now on the phone, which is getting full. Because I love podcasting because it's one of those things that every couple of years is sort of, you know, podcasting has peaked, and then several thousand podcasts comes out, and they're all great. Well, podcasting is dead because, you know, big radio is important, and then several more thousand come out, and they're all great again still. So I think lately I've been kind of getting into two kinds of podcasts primarily, along with the dozens I listen to regularly. One of them is the I Want to Have a Companion While I'm Going Through This Journey. I went through, reread all the Harry Potter books recently, watched all the movies, and I thought, well, I want something a little deeper here. I want to have nobody around me really cares about Harry Potter much anymore, so they're all not interested in talking to me about it. So I went to the MuggleNet one. There's a Aloha Mora, which is a reread podcast of every single chapter. They put an hour and a half episode up per chapter on the story, and then at the end of the book, they do a whole review. They talk about the movies. Fantastic. And it's really just a bunch of friends who have grown up reading the books and talking about it. So there's that kind of podcast. I've got one for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that I enjoy listening to. What do they call it? Fantastic Geeks. Do a bunch of podcasts, kind of breaking down each episode. So those are really fun. Now, the other side, I've always loved fiction, and there's some really cool fiction podcasts out there that are wonderfully done, because they don't tell you they're fiction and podcasts. They let you figure that on their own. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites lately has been The Black Tapes, or Tannis. They're both from the same production company. They portray themselves as real reports of these supernatural things they're investigating from Pacific Northwest Radio. And so they make it sound like it's a group of NPR reporters who just have this fascination that went off in a direction, and suddenly they're disappearing in the woods for weeks at a time, or they're, you know, not able to sleep because they think they're going to die from hearing a sound, which they conveniently play on the podcast. So now you've heard it, and you're going to die in here too. So it's that wonderful boundary pushing that they're doing. Because a lot of the times before that, it was like, this is a podcast of the story of this person, and we're going to dramatize it. It's like, nope, this is the Black Tapes podcast. I'm really this person, and this is what's really happening to me. Wink. So that's just some of the stuff that I'm into right now.
Have you been listening to the relaunch of Voice of Free Planet X, by the way?
I have been listening to that, yes.
That is right in that niche. Fantastic.
And they are doing a live recording tomorrow, yes. And it is going to be amazing.
Yeah. It's basically galactic public radio, so NPR, but fictional.
Yes.
Could you run by the names a little slower?
Sorry.
Sure.
We talk fast, but we do apologize.
I'll ask.
That's great. So, Voice of Free Planet X.
Okay.
Jared Axelrod.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. But Googling that is very easy because he's also one of the early podcasters, so his SEO is great.
I think one thing, I don't know if anybody's mentioned that Balticon has a podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who would like to talk a little bit about that?
I'll take that one.
Okay.
So, Balticon has a podcast. You may notice when you're going to panels, we've got these funny looking things at the front. And basically what that is a lot of participants will...
They're mind control rays.
Yes, they are mind control rays. We use these mind control devices to actually record the panels. And then often we'll put them out on our own podcast. But the part of the volunteers for Balticon is they collect all of those recordings and they put them out on one feed, so you can subscribe to one feed and get all of the panels, and you can actually go back into previous years and listen to panels that we have had.
It's so much cheaper than time travel or cloning or any other technology.
Exactly. Do you have any idea how hard it is to get a time turner? I mean, I've ordered them from Etsy, but half of them don't work.
In addition to the panels, I started doing the reading, recording the readings from the authors. So you can go back in the podcast and pick up readings from the authors who have come and done readings from their books, sometimes entire books, sometimes partial. But it's really awesome, and they agreed to let us publish it.
Which is fantastic.
There's just so much. Doc Coleman is now running the Balticon podcast, and he has just a ton of...
Content
available.
Yes. Doc Coleman just took that over this year, I believe, and he's been really great about getting out to people and getting the recordings. He actually went through and said, and went and asked for specific recordings from last year, saying, I know you are on that panel and you carry a recorder around. So he's been really good at getting a lot of those files. And it takes away a lot of the stress of Balticon, because now if I can't get to a panel, I'm like, oh, there'll be a recording.
It also scratches that itch, because there's a whole year between one Balticon and the next. I know they're trying to fix that, so there's one every month. I don't know what's going to happen.
We're waiting. Well, you know, the community, we've been all... planning on building, living together in a big dome, and it's just podcasting all the time, right?
Yeah. I'm a little short on funding, but I'm working on it.
Well, you know, that's the rub right there.
It's the dream.
So, do any of the audience members have any questions or genres they'd like to hear about in podcasting?
I know there are a bunch of podcasts in the audience. I just wanted to have a raise of hands. How many podcasters do we actually have here? Okay, so it looks about
half.
Yeah.
Excellent.
How many people are already listening to podcasts? Okay, so there's a few that are not quite sure or not quite on the fence. I want to kind of know, why are you not yet listening to podcasts? Is it you find it hard to listen to them, or you haven't found the ones you wanted to? Just shout out an answer or two.
I worked in radio for 20 years, so I kind of took a break.
Brother.
I just needed a break. That was all
break.
Although my oldest has kind of got me reignited, because my oldest 17-year-old introduced me to Welcome to Night Vale.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of the 800-pound girl in the room,
that was what I did mention that list of them.
Yeah, and if you've ever worked or in a radio station, listening to Welcome to Night Vale is very eerie.
It's like working at a radio
station. It's like working at a radio station, exactly.
And
exactly.
They have just started a fantastic sister podcast called Alice Is Not Dead.
Yes.
Alice Isn't Dead.
Yes.
Which is based on the CB recordings of a fictional trucker. That is very cool.
Thanks.
Has excellent sound effect work.
So So is there anyone else that wants to tell us what any barriers that you have to listening to podcasts?
Part of it is finding them.
Yeah.
Part of it is getting my technology set up to access them.
Mm-hmm.
And then remembering to do it.
Yep.
And sort of in that order. My kids don't really listen to podcasts that I'm aware of. So, you know, usually they're like, Mom, do this. Whereas I have one who goes, no, you're not allowed on Tumblr.
You are totally allowed on Tumblr.
Totally allowed on Tumblr.
The time sink.
Okay. Yep.
So that's
it's somewhat technology and the rest of us time.
Mm. Yeah.
Time is always a thing you're wrestling with. As someone who listens to podcasts, if I can, every waking hour of the day, and still never catches up. At one point I had, before I stopped counting, it was like 3,800 episodes behind. And I knew at some point all of the podcasters would be dead, and I'd finally catch up. And then new podcasters were born. It was really, really inconvenient. The part of it is also find the podcast that fits your lifestyle. There are 5-minute, 10-minute podcasts. They're great because you can kind of put one in. I'm currently using an iPhone. I'm using their podcast app on there. They have something they've introduced, which is called Stations. I can group these podcasts together so that if I'm looking for something, I'm not digging through all of the 200 or 300 podcasts I've subscribed. I'm looking at the ones that said, these are all story-based ones. I know I'm going to get a story episode out of that. Sometimes it's frequency. There's some great podcasts out there. Coverville is a fantastic podcast playing music, and it's all about covers of other songs. It's brilliant. Brian Nibbitt is I don't know how he finds time to listen to music, but he does a freaking episode every couple of minutes, I think.
So too many.
That's the case where you kind of got to be a little picky, perhaps, unless you've got a daily commute or something like that, you can throw it on. I got to say that iTunes is still another 900-pound gorilla in this whole thing. And I have a huge music collection, a lot of podcasts. iTunes has now become practically unusable for me for podcasts. So now I'm just using my phone, and that's come a long way as well. I still hate it, but it's come a long way. The other thing is the whole definition of a podcast. So to people, I'm kind of old school. To me, it's you go out, you subscribe, and then it comes to you when it's ready. Other people are like, well, it's on their website. I'll play it from the website. I find that is one of the barriers. Because if I've got to go to your website to find if a new episode has come down, then scroll down and find the play button, and sit at my computer while it's playing, you kind of lost me because I can't sit down that long. So finding something like, you don't have to have an iPhone necessarily, but the phones or the tablets, they're kind of one of the great entry into that right now. A lot of them also allow you to download the episodes right there, so you're not having to worry about streaming data or anything like that.
Like RSS, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
I have a Google phone, and I use the app Podcast Addict, which is very good for grouping all your individual podcasts, and they're very easy to see and click on and getting all the information.
See, I'm still old school, and I'm using my MP3 player to sync to my playlist.
Can we talk a little bit about the difference between audio and video podcasts?
Yes.
One has pictures, and the other has your mind.
So, podcasting started out mostly pretty much audio. It's delivering MP3, and there are other versions, but I'm going to simplify here. MP3 via... you know, RSS, syndicated syndication.
I don't think there's enough letters there. Let's add a few more.
LMNOP.
So, but then YouTube came about and people started doing YouTube videos, and then people started doing video podcasts, and some people will say that they have a video podcast, but if it's just on YouTube, I don't really count that as a podcast. Some people will say that they have a podcast, but it is not a podcast because it does not have an RSS feed that will actually let you download the content. There are, as NCAF said, sometimes that they make you come to their website to view the content, and they want you to stream it. They don't want you to download it. That to me, and maybe I'm a snob, but that to me is not a podcast. That is web content, but podcast means, pod means portable. It means you get to take it with you. And they're all great mediums. They're all wonderful. But to me,
The thing that's wonderful about a podcast is it's on your schedule and you get to take it with you and you're not tied to anything. And one of the things I wanted to talk about, especially for the podcasters in the room, I've said this many, many times, you can't manufacture a yes, but you can definitely manufacture a no. If you only release your podcast using iTunes directory, while yes, that is the 800-pound gorilla in the room that many people are using to get their podcasts, there are still so many people who will not use it because iTunes is a beast. What you need to do when you're creating your podcast is you need to go to Stitcher and put it there. You need to... Now there's the Google Play Store you can put your podcast in. You need to go to the Zune Store or the Microsoft Store, what it is now.
There is no Zune.
There is no Zune. There is only Rob, by the way. That's who you email to get yourself into the Microsoft marketplace. You email Rob. He took care of the Zune store. He's taking care of the Microsoft store now. You can get yourself into TuneIn. There's all of these different services that you can get yourself into. And the more places that you get that content out there, the more opportunity you have to actually reach listeners, because we all have different technology, we all have different devices, and we need a little help.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little more even older school. Yeah. It's have a friggin' website that people can read, and it's going to have some information, because people are going to Google it or something. And any of you who are looking to find a podcast, go to Google. I know there's Bing and other places that try to do better, but they don't. And just type in what you're interested in. It'll take you to a website. And if they're smart, they've got a really easy button that says subscribe using iTunes or subscribe by RSS. RSS, by the way, really simple syndication. That's literally what it stands for. All it is because I'm in computer science, so I understand we have to have three-letter acronyms for everything. but it's just the agreed-upon standard about how to say, I'm going to ask your website to download the most recent episode. That's basically what that's for. And once you subscribe, then you take it away from you, from them. You take it away from their website. They may throw other things down their feed and try to give you advertisements, but generally it's now on your device or on your computer. I don't know what else I was going to say.
I'm going to tack on there, and if you have a website, you make sure that you have an about page that explains what you are and a contact, just because... Even though it's really difficult to get feedback from listeners, it's very frustrating as a listener to not be able to contact.
Yeah.
Especially if the feed breaks. Paulette.
This one, preach for a minute. First of all, the whole idea of video podcasts, audio podcasts, everything else, we're at a magic moment in time where there are people out there that are broadcasting, they're streaming live on Twitch.
And Facebook
now. Recordings, and they're putting them on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Then they're stripping the audio, and they're making it available as an RSS feed. So, you know, if you're building a podcast, you know, whatever you start with for your material, don't think that's the only thing you can release.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It just takes a little bit of software on your machine and a little bit of time, usually overnight while you're sleeping, to build multiple channels for that same material and put it out there.
We have...
Testify.
We have, absolutely. We have folks at the radio station. So I'm program director at a small campus community radio station. Volunteers are doing their shows there. But one of the things we said several years ago, we want to give your shows another boost in signal. So we do have them broadcast over FM. We have a live stream on the web. And then I want you to podcast them. We figured out how to do that legally. But one of the interesting things that's happening now is you get, because YouTube is a force. YouTube is a great social engine for connecting people together, really people with content. So two of the shows now actually take their audio, they podcast a regular episode, then they put essentially static images or images related to their show and put it up as a YouTube episode as well. And that's kind of the way they're gathering people's attention. And once they've got their attention, they say, oh, by the way, if you want to subscribe for just the audio episodes, go back and subscribe here. So, yeah, it all kind of works in together. It's very interesting. The whole live to podcast is kind of an interesting way to do it as well.
That's something that we've been doing with Beyond the Wall, by the way, is we go live on YouTube via Hangouts, and, like, in a day, it's out there as MP3. Just take it, put it into Audacity, bing, bang, boom. Yeah,
there's a lot of them do that.
From an SEO perspective, that sounds like a really terrible idea. So, have you guys noticed a significant drop in how Google handles your websites and your feeds?
They've been fairly good. It's a little tricky because specficmedia.com recently went through big changes due to certain personnel issues, and that has nothing to do with animosity. The people know the answer. I'm getting tongue-tied. Anyway, servers moved, things got changed, and so basically we had to start everything from scratch. So Google hasn't dinged us as of yet, so far as I know. I'm not actually running that website, but they seem to be pretty much okay because the actual written word is different enough.
Well, it's just that with all the latest, the Panda updates and all that mm-hmm. stuff, now if you're using the same links across different areas, they'll consider you a... I do SEO, this is why the niche. But they'll consider it to be a link farm, and if you're using the same link on different sites.
Yeah, it hasn't gotten to that extreme, but then again, we all kind of bring everything back to the one site that then goes to other things instead of multiple sites and stuff.
To translate the three-letter acronym once again, SEO stands for Search Engine Optimization, which is the process by which people put up stuff on the web, try to make it easier for people to find. They find the keywords, they find the essential information, or they put that out there so that the Googles and so forth of the world have a better chance of matching you with what you're looking for.
That's why you can put in, like, Star Trek podcast and find many podcasts about Star Trek or whatever.
I'm on the other side of things where I'm dealing with folks that are usually pretty young and usually kind of intimidated by everything. So I'm usually just, if I can get them to podcast, I've done really, really well. If I try to point out to them, and sometimes they get it, they are slowly, and that is, you know, every time you put an episode up on the website, put some text with the episode.
Yeah.
That's searchable. And your audio is not yet really searchable. Probably won't be for a while.
And they have to put their show in there because there's so many shows coming from chsrfm.ca. It's a little frustrating when, and I say this because I was podcast proselytizing there as well, they'll put episode 81. Very good. Do you know how many shows we have on this station?
So can we talk a little bit about, I'm sorry, Paulette, but I want to talk a little bit about, or hear a little bit about the line that's kind of starting to blur between self-made podcasts and corporate podcasts.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
I can start. I just want to give Hugh an opportunity to speak as well. We've been dominating.
A lot of these networks are developing that are sort of first run radio station-like podcasts, like...
Wait, don't tell me yours.
NPR sort of repurposes all their audio mm-hmm. in podcasts, and they also do their own podcasts, like Serial? Was that a thing?
Yes. Yeah. No, I've never heard of that. I don't know what you're talking about.
I like Serial with milk.
But yeah, there's the NPRs, there's the CBC ones, there's all of the comedians and the LA people.
So
and
there's stuff like Maximum Fun, which, you know, hosts podcasts from like John Hodgman and the McElroy brothers and all those sort of comedians who are also doing this as a sort of side channel to their career.
The Late Late Show,
John Oliver.
Stephen Colbert.
Yes.
He put out a podcast before the show came out. And it was kind of a half behind the scenes, half joking podcast. And every once in a while they throw another episode in the feed, which is kind of what you're watching tonight. It has nothing to do with what you're watching tonight, oddly enough. I think they're looking at that as kind of an addition onto what they're doing. The cool thing about podcasting is that it started out by a bunch of people who wanted to do it. It wasn't a corporate measure to begin with. And while there's people with money who moved in and creating it, great. They just, you know, add more into the podiosphere, if you will. They add more content out there. And the better that they do it, the kind of ups everybody's game.
Yeah. There's legitimacy to the
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, if NPR decides it wants to go whole hog on podcasting, they think there's something to it. Now, they also fought with themselves on that. There was a recent dictum at NPR that NPR podcasts were not supposed to mention that there's a podcasting app for NPR on their shows. They weren't supposed to advertise it anymore. So, and it was just sort of like, why are you doing this? Because some of the advertising they did on their own shows was for other shows that are podcasts, but they can't mention the NPR One app for some reason. So there's still confusion out there. That's another route, by the way, to get your favorite podcasts. I'm not entirely in favor of it, but individual podcasts sometimes create their own app. That's kind of to create a very catered atmosphere so they can provide additional information, the easier to find that particular stuff. That's all great, but it's kind of like if an author creates their own library or their own store and you go to everybody's individual store to find the books. It's like, I just want a bookstore where all the books are located. The other thing about the corporate ones is sometimes they get all the press, and that's unfortunate. And if you are looking at podcasts and you're looking and you're finding these corporate ones, just kind of look a little harder because you'll find something beyond that. And the corporate ones aren't bad. You know, people have been doing radio for a while. I'm a radio guy, so I'm gonna say it's not so bad. But I'm also in that interesting place where I'm the heart crossover between podcasters and radio people because all of our people are volunteers, just like podcasters generally are. I think that the other thing that you can kind of do is you can forgive a podcaster who's not a corporate person for not having the best audio, for not having all the fancy sound effects, for not necessarily having it'll be out by 8 p.m. every Tuesday schedule. But you'll also probably be able to reach them if you send them an email.
I actually did a whole episode about this year, corporate versus indie podcasting, but I have a couple of, it was really great. We had T. Morris and I can't remember who else now, and I'm blanking. I'm very sorry.
Kind of.
Yeah, he kind of takes over, you know. But there was some random, it was Beth Case, and she's here at Balticon. So it was a really great atmosphere, having people on both sides of the fence there. A lot of the corporate podcasting, and people are going to say, but NPR's not corporate, but it's corporate because it's not independent. It's really great what they're doing, but my big pet peeve is when they kind of pretend that they've invented it. And when I say they, I mean the collective media. I remember recently reading that podcasting is 10 years old this year. No, it's not. 2004, I believe, is when it really started going, and Dave Schlosser of the Evil Genius Chronicles was really funny when he was reading the article, and he goes, "Wow, podcasting's 10 years old. I just celebrated my 12th anniversary. That's awesome."
What about Will Wheaton's Radio Free Burrito?
Exactly. This is even somebody known.
Yeah, as a celebrity doing an independent podcast.
Yeah.
But I think it brought more legitimacy to him.
Yeah.
As a celebrity, and so he built that in there. And
yeah, before he was really reaching out on that, I remember way back he could not get on the celebrity poker game because they said he wasn't enough of a celebrity. But Sean Astin could because he was in the Lord of the Rings movie. And just a couple of years later, suddenly, they're like begging him. And he's like, it's a very different atmosphere.
I'm not enough of a celebrity. I'm sorry.
But the big difference I also feel, and you will find these styles in different indie or corporate, but there's definitely stereotypes. I don't like the clean, polished corporate sound because as a listener, it's very cold. What I love about podcasting is I feel like the podcaster is speaking to me directly. I feel like I'm talking to friends. It's like listening in on a conversation among friends if it's multiple people, but sometimes it's just somebody talking to you. And as a geek, I'm often passionate about things but don't have people to talk about them with. So if I listen to a very polished radio professional sounding show, I don't get that same level of engagement. And for me, if you're podcasting, you need to talk to your audience. And don't call them fans. They may be fans of yours, but don't call them fans because that just assumes too much. And that's my personal opinion. They're listeners. Talk to them and don't assume that they don't know things.
don't talk over them.
And don't apologize all the time.
Yes, here's one thing I need to stress. There are a bunch of pet peeves. Don't talk about the delay in your schedule. Don't apologize because of whatever happened. It's a podcast. A lot of times people are listening to this in binge format. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there is a podcast that I absolutely adore, and I wish he was here because I would love to call him out on it. But Metamore City Podcast is a fantastic podcast, and we have the best editor here from that. And one of the things that drove me crazy is the constant, okay, so this is why it wasn't out this week, because it doesn't matter. It's good content. And I will forgive you for all sorts of things if your content is good. You don't need to have the best microphones in the world, but I need it not to be very bad. Do not chew or eat into the microphone.
Yeah.
If you didn't have lunch, either let your stomach growl or postpone the podcast recording. There is nothing more annoying than when you're listening to a podcast and they are eating, or if they sound like they're not actually interested in doing the podcast.
So let's turn this around, because we really are supposed to be talking to you guys, listeners.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But the other side of that, which is kind of what you very well demonstrated, is if you're listening to a podcast, talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Send them an email, send them a text. They will have ways for you to feed back to them. And there's a couple of reasons. One, you do a podcast, it's kind of like sending your child out in the darkness. You have no idea what's happening if they don't send you back a little ping once in a while. And getting that little bit of email saying, hey, I really enjoyed that episode, or hey, I've got this question, suddenly you'll open up a conversation that could actually come up in the next episode or something, too. That happens a lot. The other thing is, if there are things they're doing which you don't like, you can let them know. It's like, hey, I really like it, but can you, put the sandwich aside when you're doing a show?
Yeah.
Because that's driving me nuts. And they might be realizing, oh, you know what? I should probably not have gum while I'm doing this. Those little things definitely help. And podcasting is a very intimate medium. Unlike books, unlike movies, unlike television, there's a sense that you're building a community with audience, and then the audience can also participate in that, communicate in that community. And you can kind of reach out and talk and perform, interact with them. Whereas, a book or a movie, it's been out for a while. There's not really anything immediate you're going to do necessarily for that, except for audiobook type thing. But generally, it's already been done. So it's kind of more immediate.
And it just before you move on, don't feel bad about these criticisms. Any feedback is gold to a podcast producer. But also, the best things that I have ever heard have been little things like, your levels are really low. Do something, and then I know there's an issue. My very first podcast, I got a big list from Nobilis of all the things that were wrong, and it was fantastic because I learned from them. But I've had podcasts I listen and I go, there's one person in one ear, one person in the other, that's driving me crazy.
I hate that.
And I write them and I tell them what's going on, and they will learn to fix it, and they will understand that there is an issue. I know that one person that I communicated with, they were like, oh, I did that on purpose. I was trying to do this, that, or the other thing. But it's like, yeah, but not everyone can process that sound. I had a listener send me a message. She actually is a Balticon goer as well, and she said, love your podcast. I tried to share it with my son, but due to his sensory issues, the music in the background, he can't listen to the talking and music in the background. So I removed it. Yeah, well, because many people with sensory issues, they can't quite differentiate certain things, like singing Happy Birthday, a whole room, it sounds like everyone's singing a different song. So once I got that, I was like, music is out. There we go. And clean. And I'm going to eventually go back and clean up those early files. But I know a lot of people, you feel intimidated. You don't want people to think you're complaining or you're saying you don't like the work, but we love that stuff. So please, please tell us.
And the thing podcasters love above all other things are iTunes reviews.
Yes. Yes.
Sure. I mean, in general, one of the things that is also kind of cool, again, from the radio station perspective, is I have guests that I have on my show, and then I do the show live and I have it on the radio. Then I say podcast the interview, And I let them know I'm doing that. And then they suddenly share that interview with other people. And now the audience for that has doubled or tripled or quadrupled. And it also has a lasting power that I would not have been able to do if I'm just doing it on a radio. Now, I love radio. I will always love radio. But it needs to embrace all of these extra technologies. So if you are someone who's wondering where to find your podcast, and you find that podcast you find looking for, tell your friends about it, because they were probably also looking for it, and then you can help them get that leg up on finding the next one.
So we've got about 7 minutes left. I would like, if you guys could recommend your favorite long form and short form podcast.
Long form as in individual episodes or long form?
As in like something that's 20 minutes an episode versus an hour and a half each one or something like that.
Okay. Hugh, okay. You start.
My favorite long form, which is about an hour each episode, is Jay and Miles Explain the X-Men, which is an X-Men fan cast. It used to be Rachel and Miles Explain the X-Men. And they have been going through every story arc of the X-Men since the Silver Age, and they're just up to like the late 80s now, and it is a delightfully fun, very funny, very insightful podcast from two excellent hosts. And my favorite short form is The Hidden Almanac, which is a very short fiction podcast that is done by Ursula Vernon and her husband Kevin Sunny. It stars a possibly immortal plague doctor / gardener / religious instructor and his possibly soon to be martyred co-host.
Awesome, thank
and
you.
And it is delightfully fun.
All right, fine. I always hate picking favorites because it's kind of like, well, I've only got 200 to choose from here. Shortest ones I'm going to think of, ironically sitting side by side in my list here, Comedy Forecast, great show done by Clinton. He actually, he's had fun kind of using his comedy, the number four cast, and he used the number four kind of fun. He has, at first it was supposed to be 4 minutes of comedy, then it was now four segments. And during the fourth month of the year, he does a new show up every day, but normally it's every four. So there's 4, 14, and 24, there's a new episode that comes out. For another similar one, I'm going to say the Supervillain Corner, which is usually 5 to 7 minutes long. It's a supervillain story or supervillain podcast by real supervillains. That's the premise, even though it was taken over for one season by the heroes. And it's really fun, multiple characters, actually multiple actors now. It used to be one guy who just did all the voices with their various pitches changes. For the longer form one, right side by side, that's perfect. I'm going to say Technorama, done by a couple of my friends. They have a fun, lighthearted look at technology. That's a weekly podcast, 1 hour long.
Tech drama or
Technorama. Technorama. You find them at chuckchat.com. There's some other Technorama out there. I think it's some sort of particle physics accelerator in Sweden, so that's not them. Although they do talk science from time to time. Let's see, what else could I recommend? I'm going to recommend The Black Tapes and Tanis. Tanis is T-A-N-I-S. They're both that sort of NPR-style drama, but it's like a documentary, but they're talking about, in Tanis, they're talking about the myth of Tanis and how it's affecting this guy and how he disappeared for a month and trying to piece his life back together. He's a producer of that show featuring the host of the other show, so it's like it's a network with The Black Tapes, which is exploring supernatural mysteries and the whole disappearance of the wife of the scientist they're talking to and how that becomes the dominant episode or issue. I could go on forever.
No, you were just supposed to say favorite.
How about Geek Radio Daily?
You
know, 10 to 15 minutes most weekdays, and it's weekly, sometimes weekly. That's just a fun little hit of, you know, what's geeky in the world. They have comic book mentions and TV mentions.
And they've got a panel tomorrow.
And there's a
so
live,
you can check them out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody want to shout out their favorites? We've just got a couple minutes left, or if anybody has any questions.
Yep. Nadia, you want
to? will just say very quickly many of those I really love. For long form, I'm going to pick Dakota Ring Theater because it is my love of love audio drama. And you've got the Red Panda and the Flying Squirrel adventures, and you've got Blackjack Justice, and you know they are fantastic, and it's Canadian, so yay. For short form, I'm going to go with a flash fiction podcast, and that is Flash Pulp. It's pulp delivered 3 times a week, short 15 to 20 minute episodes, and they tie in together, and it's a lot of fun. And
multiple storylines and, long.
And I will say I lament the days when Sci-Fi Dig was putting out 3-hour episodes on the regular, but sadly that is no longer happening. But if you want to go back to those archives, those were fun.
Did somebody in the back have a question?
Or a podcast suggestion?
Yeah.
Since there's so many word lovers in the room, there's a podcast called The Allusionist, A-L-L-U-S-I-O-N-I-S-T. It's all about the history of words and how
they nice.
There's another one.
Like that. It's awesome.
And if you're also, I was going to say Grammar Girl, you know, the quick and dirty tips are fantastic. And if you're ever stumped, you can always tweet her.
Yes.
Anyone else have anything that you think everybody's got to know about? Yes.
One of my favorites, I listen to him when I walk, is Nathan Lowell.
Yes.
Talking on my morning walks.
Talks on my morning walks.
20 minutes of one of the best indie writers out there that's actually, you know, making a living off of books, talking about the industry. He's now on the CIFL committee, so he's getting some insight into that.
He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. His voice is pure gold.
It's medicine.
It is medicine. And he's also a frequent Balticon attendee, but his daughter's graduating this year.
Yeah, you really feel like you're walking along with him because he also talks about the dog which come to greet him and the house and everything. Yeah, good suggestion. Thank you.
Reminds me of a conversation with Nathan Lowell. He just, you can't rush with him. And it's such a rich and deep experience. Yeah, whether you're listening to him narrate or talking with him.
And if you haven't heard of him, this is an indie author that has turned down New York Publishing because they can't pay him as much as he can make on his own.
And the first 6 books in his Golden Age of the Solar Clipper series are all on audiobooks.
Yes.
Narrated by him, and they are the best. You will never be so fascinated by making coffee in space.
There's
actually, you might want to listen to those soon because they
Audible has now got a new recorded version with a different narrator.
Oh, I got to download the old ones then.
So, yeah.
If you're looking for fiction, Quarter Share is the word to start on that one. It is stupendous science fiction without having to shoot everybody. It's great.
Well, thank you guys so much.
It's
been wonderful.
We have like 2 hours, right?
No.
I got another 20 podcasts.
So many podcasts.
Thank you all for coming. Wonderful turnout. Yes.
And if anybody wants like tips on how, for instance, you need help getting how to subscribe and things like that, I can help you out right after the panel. I'm more than happy to help.
All right.
The only place you can get the new Alibi Jones adventure is on Glow in the Dark Radio. The Solar Alliance has a new prime representative who's no friend to Alibi's family. Politics. A ghost ship has appeared out on the Depot Fringe, and public revelations of some of Alibi's past are about to blow up. Kind of like how he blew up a whole city that time. I'm author and reader Mike Luoma, bringing you new chapters free each week from the forthcoming Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. Get episodes or subscribe on iTunes or through glowinthedarkradio.com on Facebook at /glowinthedarkradio.
Seriously, farm-to-table food delivery service that sends you a live animal every month and a recipe card.
I am in.
Is this in a hammer or anything?
You're killing your animals with hammers?
Well, I don't have a lot else.
Dang.
Saves on ammo.
It's cold.
It's funny. Hey, it's good for the arms.
It's true. It's a workout.
It's a workout.
Arm day. Excellent.
Have you guys introduced yourselves already?
No, we've just been chatting and making good jokes.
These people have no idea who we are.
They're like, half the people know who we are and the other half are like, What is this?
It's like my podcast.
Help.
Nobody knows who I am.
Hey. So it's familiar territory.
Isn't this the George R. R. Martin signing?
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Here. He'll be here real soon.
And
just sit tight.
He was in the hall. Didn't you see him?
Yeah, well, I'm holding a seat for him.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Excellent. All right, he's set. Okay, so...
Yes, I am Paul E. Cooley.
Okay, no, you need to be quiet and get on your electronics.
Nutty Bites is produced at Nimlast Studios. You can find us on the web at nimlaststudios.org. This work is created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported International License. What that means is you can share it, you can send it to your friends, you just can't make any money off of it, you can't change it, and you have to link back to me, my site, and everything. You can comment and send feedback by going to nimlast.org/nuttybites. You can go to facebook.com/group/nuttybites. You can call the comment line by going to 347-NUTTY42, or you can find me on Twitter, you can search on Google+, you can search the web, you can find me everywhere.